Well, we're glad to have this good man of God, a veteran missionary from Romania, been many, many years in that country, he and his precious wife and his family. Will you make welcome Brother Jim Wilhelm as he comes this morning to share with us from his heart.
God bless you. Thank you, preacher. Did you get that one little button cut on? I didn't get it cut on. Okay, one.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think that's why we're here. We're here to praise him. God allowed me to stand before this sacred desk today and preach the Word of God. And I feel in awe today at God and what God allows us to do in these days. He's such a wonderful God. Let me introduce Stephen, our son Stephen, stand up. And then right beside him are Jonathan and Christopher. They're Romanian. And then Sheila back there. She's here with us today, and would you pray for this dear family here? They're our own. My wife's sitting back there today, and I thank the preacher for the opportunity to be here with you today. What a wonderful blessing. I've asked back in the back, we're going to try and play a video today. It's not a new one, but you'd be able to see a little bit about what Stephen has gone through in these 21 years. And I may talk about him today in the message, if God will let me. But we want to show that video if we can. You watch it. You'll see Stephen, Lori, and Sheila's much smaller in the video, okay? But that's okay. And this is in a gypsy village in Romania where Stephen has worked so hard and poured his life out during these last 21 years. I hope you enjoyed that today. That is, I think, how many? 7 years old, Stephen? 10 years old, okay. The young lady you met back here today, that's Sheila. And that is such a good presentation of what goes on in Romania. During those days, back when that was done, we had another missionary family there in Romania, and they didn't know much Romanian. And so Stephen and Lori went out to some of those villages to help them learn the language and to work and understand how to work with the gypsy people. And, of course, they're gone now. How many years, Stephen? 2 years. They're gone 2 years now. And we're trying to do what we can to help all those villages there. And Stephen is the one that runs the whole thing. And Lori, if you wanted to set up a vacation Bible school or anything along those lines, she was instrumental in doing the graphics and all the handwork and many of those things that we did in those villages. And so wish you'd pray for Stephen. His heart is there. Lori is in bad shape in the hospital at UNC Chapel Hill. And so wish you'd pray especially for her. She's in tremendous problems and pain all the time. And Stephen goes and stays a day or 2 days, and somebody else goes in, stays a little while. When he comes home, he's worn out. So I wish you'd pray for them. We are looking for a house somewhere in the neighborhood of Chapel Hill within, say, 15, 20 minutes if we could, because you have to go back and forth and back and forth. And right now, Miss Sandy and I are looking after the children and at our sons in Cary, and there's no room there for anybody. I often said there's no room in the inn, amen? And but on the couch, in the floors, whatever has to be done so folks can get a place to get some rest and then get back. And it's a burden on the children. It's a burden on our son there who already has a house full before ever they came in. So I wish you'd pray much for them. And if you know of anything, please let us know. I had some letters I wanted to bring today. I'll bring them tonight. They didn't get out today, but it gives all the facts about where Lori is and her health and what the needs are, and I wish you'd pray for them. If you have your Bibles with you today, I trust that you do, would you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter number 2, Nehemiah chapter number 2, and I want to preach a message. I'll tell you, Brother Billy, I have had a fight this week. God actually woke me up in the middle of the night a few days ago and gave me a message. And you know he wouldn't give it back to me. Guess he didn't want it today, amen? But we're praying that as you read your Bible today, you'll allow the Word of God to do something for you. And I've entitled the message, I don't do much of that, but I've entitled the message, Vision. And we find in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people will perish. Romania's in difficult days today. It's more difficult to stay in the country of Romania than it ever has been. It's difficult there because the majority of the religious people there don't like us. We believe in eternal security. We preach the Word of God. We preach salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many churches today don't believe that, don't understand it. They think you can lose your salvation. Others are living on their feelings today. Others are living there today with something you got to feel, you know. We don't always feel our salvation, amen? Don't always. But I'm glad today that we have the Word of God to strengthen us and challenge us for these days. Nehemiah chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God hath put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode on. And I went up out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung poured, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither did I had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest of the world. Just him and God. Few men, just him and God. Amen. Because God directed him to look at the problems that were in the city. And the Bible said, and I said to the king, I'm sorry, let me read back over. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up for the walls of Jerusalem, that we may be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me, and also the king's word that I had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, the vision. Oh, such a vision around our world today of people dying and on their way to a devil's hell. Lord, Father, tonight I ask you, do something for missions. Would you reach out from heaven tonight and reach into hearts and lives and show them the need that we have around our world? I know, Father, you're not looking for our ability. You're looking for our availability. And when we place ourselves in your hands and determine to walk with you and are surrendered to your perfect will, We know you'll make a way where there's no way. And Father, you'll bless the work around the world of missions. Send people in. I pray you'll bless the work as only you can. I pray, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood upon the cross be on the hearts and lives of everybody here. If there's one here tonight or today or this day or throughout this day that's lost, would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to do office work here in this place and save that one nearest hell? And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, the people will perish. I think about the great vision that this church has had over the years to reach out across this area, this whole area, and take time through the preaching of the Word of God over the air and over the internet, that the Word of God can go forth from here. I'd pray that one of these days that this building would be too small, Brother Billy, and you'd have to expand and you have to build more. But it's all according to the vision we get for the need of people in our world today. Do you understand? I hope you do. Our world's in a mess. Our political system's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our homes are in a mess today. And they need the church of God that is the pillar and ground of truth to be preached all over this area. That when we leave here, Brother Billy and I are going to leave here one day. The Lord doesn't come. Brother Tim, so many of us, so many of you I know, going to leave here one day. And we need to leave a legacy here and allow God to speak and God to work through this community in a magnificent way. I think of when I went to Romania. I had pastored churches. I had been minister of music in churches. I'd had the opportunity to be in many, many places serving the Lord. And I saw churches on every corner. I saw all kinds of churches. I saw some, we've even been to the mountain, and this is the top of the Mountain Baptist Church, in the middle of the Mountain Baptist Church, in the bottom of the Mountain Baptist Church. And they're there, so many of them there, but yet, what are we doing for Jesus in these days? What's the approach we have? What have we determined to do that we can reach out to the world for the Lord Jesus? And I think about those things and the need, and my heart's cry. I heard about Romania, and my heart's cry was, could I go somewhere that I can see something happen before the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late? One of these days, it'll be all over, said and done. We can't do anymore, Brother Billy. My dear brother, putting the gospel message around this country into places. And so I ask you to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? There's so great a need in Romania. Stephen may not be able to go back. We don't know. I'm praying that he will, because that is home for him, and that's where they've lived for the last years, and that's where the children are born. And bless their hearts, so many times they say, Granddaddy, when we're here, could we go back to Mania? That's home. And I think this morning, we need to focus on God. We've got our eyes on everything else. We're unconcerned about our neighbor. We're unconcerned about those people. I'm not saying everything, but so many of us. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. If you have your Bibles, I trust you'll turn to the scriptures with us as we go today. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. I want you to notice these scriptures today and say, Lord, what do I need to know from them? Why has God given me this? Oftentimes I get in my Bible because I don't know what to do or what to say, and I just began to go from chapter to chapter to chapter. Say, God, speak to my heart. Help me to understand why I need this old book. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't do it when you're young, when you get older, it's hard. It's difficult. And so Isaiah 26:3, the Bible said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If we don't trust God, who can we trust today? We can't trust the celebrities that we see on the television. We can't trust them because we thought they were golden and silver, and we find out they're just mere men. They're just like you, just like me. They put their clothes on the same way. They live in the same type of thing. And one day they're up, and the next day they're down. Isaiah, I think, has said, you know, we need to keep our hearts and minds on Christ. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy might." You know, we need to trust God. Just trust God. Trust God. That's all we... You got anything else you can trust, we can stand on? Not a thing. It's not available. Then Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 17. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth forth her leaves by the river, and shall not see when thou heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Blessings. God's got unnumbered blessings for us that we don't know anything about. I think about the matter of when God called me to Romania. I hadn't yet been called. I went down to an old-fashioned altar, Brother Billy. God had been speaking to my heart about doing something, but I didn't know what God wanted. Ever been there? I didn't know what God wanted. But I knew it was time for me to leave the church where I was, as I was minister of music there and seniors pastor in the church and wore all kind of hats in the place. But God said, in my mind, it's time to go. And I went down at invitation time in the church there and got on my face before God. And here's what I said. I said, "Lord, I'm here again. I don't know what you want. But if you're wanting me to do something else, will you show me what it is?" And I said, "Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for the answer." I went to my pastor, Brother Billy, and I said, "I've been here a good while, and I appreciate the opportunity to work here, but God's calling me to do something else, and I don't know what it is, but I'll be resigning, and I will be..." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know. I'll preach in meetings. I'll handle music for places. I'll teach. I'll do whatever God wants." And that's what I did, Brother Billy. And I needed to find God. I really needed God more than I needed anything else in the world. Now, is that our need today? We need more of God. And so look with me in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm talking about surrendering to God whatever He wants. Most of us are not willing to do that. You think it was easy for us when we got to that place? Not a bit in the world. It was hard. It was difficult. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 8, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him when he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Find God. Wherever we find him, I'll guarantee you we don't find him watching television. Amen. We don't find him any place, but we hear that still small voice talking to us from the inside. I love you. It's Valentine's Day all the time with God. Amen. I love you. I want you to understand I have a heart for you. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and he shed his precious blood. The darling son of the Lord Jesus Christ giving up everything that we might have everything. But it's based on our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just how much relationship do we have with him? How much love do we have for him? If we have love for him, all these things, according to 1 Corinthians 13, read the first three verses, without charity. What is charity? Charity is reaching out, not to me and not to my family, but my family reaching out to other people. Reaching out to help them and do for them what they need. That's what the love of God did when Jesus died on the cross for sinners. God wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about every one of us right here in this place. That's Jesus. That's a never-dying love. And that's God saying, I want to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I want to give up something so you can have something. And one of these days we'll get to a wonderful place called heaven if we're saved. And we'll walk on streets of gold and we'll have everything we need there. Not a thing in the world we won't need. And we'll have a job, Brother Billy. He's preparing a place for us up there. And if we don't work with him and concentrate on him and determine to walk with God and do his will, we won't be ready. That's why we call out. Call out. Do something for Jesus. Most people aren't looking for God. You know that? Wonder how many of us have said, now God, I want to stop just dead still on my tracks and just let you know that I'm available. I know I'm not much. I know there's not much to me, but I'm available, God. Would you take me and use me somewhere for the glory of God? That's where we got to. I want to see something happen before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. He died for me. He was buried for me. He arose for me. He's gone up yonder to make a place for me. And I'm doing all I can today to do my best, to do what he wants me to do. That's why God called us to Romania, because we were willing to go. Didn't have anything, but willing to go. I think about Stephen. When we left here and went to Romania, we were just rich, brother. We didn't have any money. I think we had $275 a month support. We had enough money for airplane fare, had enough money for an apartment for 6 months. We didn't have anything else. We didn't have any money in the bank. We didn't have any life insurance. We didn't have anything. We just had us and the Lord. And Stephen really didn't want to go to Romania. He told us that after he got there. He said, Daddy, I really didn't want to go. And in a meeting, God got a hold of his heart. Just like he can get a hold of our hearts today. God got a hold of his heart, and he said, Daddy, when we came to Romania, I didn't want to be here. I went because the family went, but I didn't want to be here. But God touched my heart. I want something to do. And I ask you, dear friends, I love you, but not like Jesus today. Would you reach out and say, I want something to do? I said, son, what would you like to do? He said, I'd like to have a teen class. Can you imagine that? I want to have a teen class. He said, I want to have it right here in our little apartment in the high-rise building in Oradea, Romania, a county of 300,000-plus people there. And he said, I'll reach out. He said, I'll pass out flyers. He said, I'll invite young people to come, and I invite teenagers to come. And Lord, and Daddy, you won't have to do anything. I'll study. I'll get the programs up, and I'll teach the classes. And Daddy, because I want something to do. Could I encourage you, find something to do for Jesus before it's eternally too late? That's his testimony. His home's there. Would you pray for him? You saw the video up here today of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls. Miss Sandy and I preached in meetings over there. We preached in churches over there. And we kind of sat on the sidelines when they did all those things. And for years and years and years, even all the way up to he and Lori got married, he was teaching the teenagers. What a blessing to know that God still touches hearts. So we need to focus on God. Get our eyes on Jesus. We need to find God. If you don't know where he is, you need to find him. You need to find your place here at the old-fashioned altar at the time of invitation. You need to get on your face before God and say, God, I'm here. I don't know what you want, but I'm here. I'm willing. If it's here, I'm willing to be here. If it's Bible college, I'm willing to go to Bible college. If it's a little church over here in the middle of nowhere like I've been, I know what that's about. I was in a church, the air was 80% black. The blacks didn't go to school, go to church with the whites, and the whites didn't go to church with the black people. 80%. Yet God put me down on the backside of the desert there to see he's able to work wherever there is. To focus on God, to find God, to seek him, and then the fullness of God. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. I'm hastening to finish now. Jeremiah 29, 13. And here's what's said. And God said in 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It's all God's. Everything you and I see, it's all God. I think about as God called me to the mission field. I'd been to a meeting down in near Orlando, Florida. Not Orlando, Daytona Beach, Florida. That was one of the things I did when I surrendered to God and I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And God led me to preach in that place. We had a 3-day meeting out there, and I don't know that I did very good in preaching, Brother Billy, but I went, amen. I went to try and do what God said for me to do, and a man by the name of Dr. Dewey Painter was in that meeting. And he looked at me after I'd been there a day or so, and I'd preached, and so he said, Brother Jim, I understand you resigned. I said, yeah. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't have any idea in the world. I don't know what I'm going to do. And here's what he did. He looked me in the face, just like I'm looking at every one of y'all today. And he said, why don't you consider going to Romania and helping us train the nationals for the work of the ministry and reach people for Christ? I said, Brother Painter, I'll pray about it. I never thought I was smart enough to go out of these United States. And so I began to pray. And I go to bed about 11 o'clock at night. I'm not an early sleeper. About 1 o'clock, everything turned daylight. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. I'd get up from where I was, and I'd go to my Bible, and I'd go to prayer, and I began to read. And for 6 weeks, I did not sleep at night. What do we do if we can't, if you're on the third shift? Now, that's all right, amen. But if you got a regular schedule, that's no good. And for 6 weeks, 6 long weeks, I couldn't sleep at night. And so I called Dr. Painter up and I said, Dr. Painter, I don't know what God wants, but we need to meet. So I set a time. It's 180 miles from St. Petersburg, Florida, to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I set a time and I drove that 180 miles to Jacksonville. Then I met Dr. Painter at Oak Forest Baptist Church. Wish I could say it's still there. It's not. The devil got in, tore it all to pieces. I think they have a lady preacher there in that place now. Not a Baptist church. I don't know what kind of church it is. But he said, Brother Wilhelm, he said, I'll be with you in just a little bit. I'm busy. And I want to take you into this room. And I went into this room, Brother Billy, and there was all kind of mementos and pictures and everything you can imagine from the mission field. I put up my display back here sometimes, and that whole thing dwarfed that. I mean, you know, it just loomed over it. So if you, and I began to look at those people there in the Bible studies and the children and all of those things. And I began to sit there a little while and looked at them. And I'll be honest with you, God broke my heart. That's our problem. Not many broken hearts today. But God broke my heart. And I bowed my head right there where I was in that display room. And I said, God, I don't know if this is what you want or not. But if this is what you want, I'm willing to go. God's got a place for every one of us here. It may be right here. It may be across the country and somewhere else in the United States. It might be across the world in Romania. We're in a county, 350,000 people over there. There's no fundamental preachers over there. There's nobody that believes this old King James Bible. Nobody. Not a soul, but just us. Stephen, Lori, the children, my wife and myself, they're all gone. Could I ask you to pray today for Rick Burton? I went to a church over Christmas time. I hadn't been there in many years. And the pastor said, Brother Jim, we're glad to have you. I began to meet some people in that place that were missionaries or getting ready to be missionaries. And Brother Rick, I met him and we began to talk to him about the work in Romania. He'd been there, but he said, I don't think I could go and work where I've been. And we began to talk to him and talk to him. He and his wife. We get correspondence back and forth. I'm not much of a one of these notes on the telephone, you know, and I get emails and all kinds. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. We want to go to Romania. Just started deputation, but praying about coming to to help us in our little county there, which is real big. Would you pray for him? Maybe there's somebody here in this place tonight, in this church, whenever we're here, maybe there's somebody here that God's reaching out to you and touching your heart about the cause of missions. Brother Rick and his wife, the Lord willing, are going to go back in with us in June and take a look at the ministry there. Would you pray for them? Maybe God's touching your heart. I was 54 when I went to the field. I'm not much older than that now. I look about the same, amen. But what I'm saying, there is a work to be done. And God's calling and God's reaching out all over this world today. Turn with me to one last scripture. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, a very known scripture. Joshua 24:15. Actually 14 and 15, you get a chance this afternoon to look over that. But here's the gist of the whole thing. You know what Joshua says? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what it's all about, service to God. We're His servants. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. And if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, would you trust Him as your personal Savior today? Would you ask Him what He has for you? If you've never been saved, just say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner." All of us, I think most of us, know that. Now, I have a brother-in-law that says I've never done anything wrong. Can't help him. Not a thing in the world I can do for him. But as you bowed your head, say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Would you forgive my sin? Would you come into my heart just now and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die?" If you're earnest and honest about that and you make that statement of faith, God will save your soul. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to a place that's much more wonderful because of God's love. He did it for you. He did it for me. He died on the cross, the Lord Jesus. You know what God the Father said? "I'm willing that my Son would go to the cross, shed His blood, and die on that cross for me so that you might have everlasting life." I wonder today, dear friend, I wonder where you stand between heaven and hell. I know not. All I can do is point back to that time in my life when I asked God to forgive my sin and the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. I said, "I've always said I'd serve you. But from this point forth, if you want me to sing, I'll sing. You want me to preach, I'll preach. You want me to dig ditches, I'll try and dig ditches. I'm surrendered to the perfect will of God." I wonder if our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Billy coming. Our musicians coming to play a good invitation song. I don't know what all this meant to you, but it meant so much to me just to get to share just a little bit with you. God's done so much for me, so much for my family, so much for the people of Romania, because many of them don't know their right hand from their left hand. They don't know where they're going. They say, "Yes, I'm saved." And you'd look at them and say, "Do you know for sure when you leave this world you're going to heaven?" "Well, I think so." But could I say, "Dear friend, I love you today, but think so, maybe so, hope so. Won't get you to heaven. There's only two places. It's either heaven or hell. There's only two. There's no more. Purgatory is not there. I'm sorry, I can't find it. But Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. I wonder if anyone would say, Brother Jim, I heard the message today. I want to go to heaven when I leave this world, but quite frankly, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me, anybody? I'll pray for you. I'll not betray your confidence, but I'll pray for you. I wonder, with the heads bowed and eyes closed today, is God speaking to you about the matter of missions? Is God talking today? Do you have a need today? God will help you if you'll just surrender. I wonder if heads bowed, eyes closed today and say, Brother Jim, I'm saved by the grace of God. I love Jesus, but I need help today. You can get it. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Jim, I need help today. Anybody? God bless you and God bless you. Anybody else? I need help. I've got a need today. God bless you. I know there's so many here today with needs. God's able to meet those needs. You say, but he knows all about my need. I'm sure he does, but when you've got a need, you go to your Father. I can go to my Father in heaven and say, Father, I don't know what to do about this. It's more than I can handle. Would you help me today? Oftentimes, I wake up 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, talk to my Father a while, and he reaches down and says, Son, it's okay. I hear your prayer. I'm able, and God is able. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll just bless in this time of invitation. Quite frankly, I don't know the needs here. Maybe some I do, but most I don't. And I pray that even in this hour today, as we close up, lunchtime's coming. I wonder, Father, would you help those to slip out of their place today? And let God do for them what they can't do for themselves. How to meet their needs. Father, I know there are all kinds of needs. Some of them financial, some physical, some mental, some spiritual, and I know that, Father. These are your church members. Would you help them today? Bless our brother today as he continues to work here at Benson Grove. I pray you bless the church. Pray you'll build it. Now, Father, do your work today as you see fit. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Billy.
Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed for just a moment while the music plays? Brother Brad, you have a song. He's going to have a verse of a song. If we can help you, if you're not saved, you want to trust Christ today, we want you to be saved. We're praying for you. We pray for you here. There are men who will pray with the men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. Maybe you raised your hand. You said, God's dealing with my heart about something. Maybe God's speaking to you about missions or something that he wants you to do here in the ministry of the church or in this state or in this nation or even somewhere in a foreign land. Or maybe you're just like Brother Jim was. You just know God's wanting you to do something. I'd encourage you to do what Brother Jim did. Come this morning and you have a meeting with God here around this altar and say, God, here I am. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you want to do it. I remember that crisis experience in my life when I felt like God called me to preach. And it was during the time when our little girl was so very sick that I knelt. I said, God, I'm surrendering to you. And I'm thankful for what he's done over these years. There comes a time, just like your salvation experience, I believe, when people lay everything on the altar and say, God, you take me, do what you want to with me, and God will lead you. And you obey God in that. Some said, I've got a burden or care or need. If we can pray with you about that, we'd do that. I invite you to come. Again, let me pray. We'll keep our heads bowed. Brother Brad's going to sing. Heavenly Father, I pray now that men and women, boys and girls will do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. God, if they're not saved, I pray they'd get saved today. come out, step out in faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that they'll bow around this altar and find that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. You'll meet every need. You'll lift every burden. And God, I pray that some, Lord, as we emphasize the need of missions, that our Father, they'll give their life to missions, and we'll thank you and praise you. God, speak to hearts now.